He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Boom! See, sometimes you need to hear the booms of hell, the powers of darkness that need to be defeated. You need to be hit by the sledgehammer before you wake up. Is not my word like a hammer that does what? That breaks the rock in pieces. The Supreme Court needs to hear this message. You need to hear about the judgment of God, the fear of God, the wrath of God, not in arrogance, but in boldness, in brokenness, in love, saying, I love God's word. I fear God. And you need to turn from the judgment that is to come.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today on Regaining Lost Ground, we return for the conclusion of the message titled, Three Things Jesus Said About Hell, and is from the sermon series, Theology on Fire. Faithful pastor J.C. Ryle once said of hell that, the saddest road to hell is the one that runs under the pulpit, past the Bible, and through the middle of warnings and invitations. Be strengthened in your assurance of salvation through Jesus today as Pastor Shane gives a sobering account of our Savior's warnings and encouragements to his followers. Let us remember that it is God who chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth of God's Word. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Interesting factor, the right hand of God, right hand of authority, the position of power, it's often on the right side. God, Jesus sits on the right side of God, the throne, the right, good sheep. But guess who he puts on the left? The goats. And it's a dividing point there. There will be a judgment. There will be a division. And he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a wake-up call, especially if I'm on the wrong side. If I'm sitting on the left side, I'm not going to like this message. This is not going to get a lot of likes on Facebook. This isn't going to make it on Christian television. Joel Osteen wouldn't even look at this type of sermon outline, right? It's not going to go anywhere because man doesn't want to fear God. It's not popular, but it's powerful. It's not going to increase your ratings or your popularity. My God, churches and Christians and leaders have to stop being popular and have to start worrying, am I pleasing God? Am I pleasing God? I want to be popular with God. I want to be known in hell. I want them to say, oh, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and that guy up in Leona Valley I know because he seeks me. But you, I don't know. You can't cast out the demonic realm because I don't know you. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, fear him, fear God. And I was at Barnes & Noble many years ago, and I saw a book, and I still cringe over the title. It was written to young adults. Very inappropriate, not good, leading many young adults astray. And it said, I hope they serve beer in hell. How deceived. No, they won't serve beer in hell, but they do serve misery. They do serve depression. They do serve darkness. Don't play around with this topic. You're going to tell the creator of heaven and earth what to do. Fear God. If I get any more passion, I'm going to lose my voice. My Lord. Well, think about how ridiculous. We're so fearful of the government, aren't we? Remember that time when everybody, we're out of ammunition. They're not making bullets anymore. Their AR-15s are going out. They're not going to be able to sell AR-15s anymore. The fear factor was unbelievable. I just sit there and my jaw dropped. I got it. I understand. I like to buy some rounds. Okay. But that's what you're going to fear? That's your hope? Number three, and probably the most important, Jesus said, going to hell is a choice. Did you know that? It's a choice. And here's what people need to understand. They say, why would God send? He doesn't send. The person makes a choice. I don't want to spend time with Jesus and God the Father. I want to spend time with my father, the devil. Okay, go to the home you choose. What parent do you want to live with? Even though they're not but who do you want to live with? The person chooses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Isn't this interesting? Jesus didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to condemn anyone. That's what, there was a big mystery. His disciples even thought, bring down fire. Jesus said, I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to save the world. Condemnation comes by rejecting what I'm about to do. So God says, I'm sending my son, no condemnation. He's going to pay the price for condemnation. Believe in my son. Here's your get out of hell free card. Believe. He's not coming to condemn. Oh, but be careful when he comes back. Right? You heard me say in Bakersfield, the lamb is turning into a lion. He's coming back as a taking a vengeance. He's coming back. No army can stand, no nuclear arsenal. He'll just whisper and things will explode. He'll just say enough and the world will be redesigned. It's that powerful. That's Christ. That's who we worship. So he said, I didn't even come into the world to condemn it. I came to save it. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, here's the hard truth is I believe we're condemned already. Cute little 5-year-old Johnny, as he's growing up and you look at this child and it's already under the condemnation of hell. There's condemnation already on his life. He's condemned. How's that fair? Again, I'm not going to hell over mystery. I'm not questioning all of God. I don't understand everything. See, I'm really not concerned with what I don't understand. What I'm concerned with is what I do understand. That's what concerns me. I understand these truths. I understand that there is a decision that must be made. So the person is already condemned. It's like a dead man walking. You know what that is, right? Dead man walking. They're walking to their execution. They are already condemned. It says they're condemned already. Jesus says, hey, by the way, taps on the shoulder. Here's the way of escape. Here's your pardon. The person says, I don't want that pardon. I'm going to continue my death walk. And they reject that offer. What about the person who's never heard the name of Jesus? So there's no missionaries reached it. I know this person. I know that God is better than me. He's wiser than me. You go online and listen to all the Muslims coming to Christ in faith through dreams and visions and different things. And God doesn't need a missionary. He'll use them, but he doesn't need them. He just needs a willing heart, a broken heart that's saying, Lord, I want to know who you are. And God will visit that person. So what's the conclusion? The conclusion of point three is this. The gospel is always a priority. The gospel is always a priority. Show me one scripture where it's not a priority. It's always a priority and it's always urgent. Show me another scripture that says tomorrow is the day of salvation. Think about it tonight. Isn't that funny? God doesn't say think about it. We do. Hey, before I buy that car, I'm going to think about it. Before I make an offer in the house, I'm going to think about it. Before I make that decision, I'm going to think about it. Let me think things through. God doesn't do that. He's certain. It's always urgency. Make the decision today. That's why I love that verse when Jesus was in the temple and he began to preach. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Upon me. What's the first thing? To preach the good news to the poor in spirit. To bring the gospel to them, the priority, the urgency. Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, which is faint-hearted, the spineless, the God rejectors, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Wow, you can see why this isn't read very often. Today's reading from the pulpit will be from Revelation 21:8. But see, if God wrote it, and God said it, and God wants people to know about it, we can't avoid these things just because they're difficult. I don't know about you, but I don't want my kids growing up believing in some cosmic ball of love, some genie in a bottle that where you pray till you get your every wish. I want them to fear God, fear who He is. But notice how it said, do you practice these things? And again, I already clarified that. Do you practice these things? So if you struggle with lying, if you've, man, Shane, I've had people say, I went and I looked at my horoscope. I know I shouldn't have. I'm felt drawn back into that. And I know it's wrong. I hate that I did that. See, you're not practicing that. Not a good idea. But there's a difference between practicing it and struggling it. Those who practice those things. Paul actually said, those who practice different sexual sins, those who are drunkards and liars and thieves and covetous, they will not inherit the kingdom of God because their lifestyle is rejecting God. Here's a good point. It shouldn't be how close I can get to the edge and still go to heaven. It should be how close can I get to Christ. See, the person who says, well, how much sin can I get away with? I want them to examine their heart. Have you truly been saved? Because it's not you, a true believer with the Holy Spirit in them is not going to go, how close can I play on this fence before I'll fall into hell? I like playing on this fence, but I see if you like it, there's a problem there. It's not how close can I get. It's like how far away do I want to get from it and draw to Christ? See, that's the real passion of your heart shows you where your heart is at. If you enjoy sin more than God, you might be on the broad road to destruction. Let me break this down a little bit. It's not a long sermon, but I'm going to finish with a few points. Basically, in my opinion, hell is God leaving the person alone, casting to outer darkness. God is holy. Those who dwell with Him must be holy, set apart. God cannot dwell and inhabit the praises of His people, not sin. So there's a gulf. So hell is the person being left alone with themselves. Without God. And this really woke me up this week. I said, wait a minute, eternity with myself? Eternity with myself? See, there's one person I'm more worried about than the accuser. I'm more worried about this person than the adversary, the Antichrist, Beelzebub, the devil, the deceiver, the destroyer, Lucifer, the thief, and the wicked one. You know who I'm more worried about? The weeping, the gnashing of teeth. That's what the pictures paint. God says, I can't dwell with you. So this outer darkness with me, without the Spirit of God, let that sink in. That's heavy. And C.S. Lewis brought up an interesting question. He said, in the long run, the answer to all those who object the doctrine of hell is itself a question. Listen, all those who object the doctrine of hell actually is itself a question. Basically, if you don't believe in hell, what are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do? Are you asking Him to just wipe out past sins? Are you asking Him to do this at any cost? Are you asking Him to just give you a fresh start, smooth out every difficulty, and offering miraculous help? Is that what you're asking God to do? Well, guess what? He has already done it on Calvary. What you're asking Him to do has already been done. All you have to do is submit and repent and obey the gospel. That's why the call goes out, repent. The bride goes out to repent. The virgins, repent, be ready for the bridegroom. Are you ready for the bridegroom? There's no plan B. There's no second chance. It's been paid. It's been finished. That's the wonderful thing Jesus said on the cross. He said, it is finished. It's already been done. Because people say, yes, I think God should just wipe away my sin. I think I should just be allowed interest in heaven. The price has been paid. That ticket is here. You just have to register. You have to pay the correct price, accept Christ's sacrifice. Remember, hell has no exit signs. That was the first title. Hell has no exit signs, but you can exit now. He who believes in Him, in Christ, is not condemned. He who believes in Christ is not condemned. At this point, I want to remind you of the flow of the service. The worship team is going to come up in just a minute. I knew it was going to be a heavy message. I don't want to go real long on it. I want to just get our hearts right. But remember the flow of the service. Remember what I talked about. Don't be in a hurry. Don't let your mind go into what you have to do later. If anyone's busy, I know what busy is. If anybody's got things to do, I know what it is to do. But pray for your friends, for your family members. Pray for those who don't know Christ. Pray for them, because I believe heaven can hear and heaven answers. I believe God can orchestrate situations. I believe He can bring people into people's lives. I think, and hear my heart here, God doesn't always play fair according to what we think is fair. He's not in heaven going, well, I hope that person chooses me someday. But if you pull down heaven, you fast and you pray and you say, God, would you do something? He says, is that my son, my daughter crying? Do they need my help? Oh yeah, I can make that. I can flip that car and save that person. And now they're going to think of me. I can take everything away from them. So now they'll bow to me and confess me as Lord and Savior. I can give them. I can allow their body to get sick so they turn to me and then miraculously heal them. I can do that. I can put things in the favor of convicting that heart. So let's not be in a hurry. When was the last time we waited on God and prayed for others? Look at your prayer list. Isn't it embarrassing sometimes? Mine is. It's all about me. And maybe my kids and wife and family. It's right there. Nice package, Shane Allman prayer list. Where's all the lost souls who are going to spend eternity separated from God? I believe God hears the prayers of His people. I believe that's why I'm here today. I believe that's why many of you are here as well. You know you've had praying moms and dads. Not as many dads. Isn't that sad? So let's change that this morning as well. Let me close. Again, I remind you, the flow of service. Brand's going to continue. We're going to, whatever the atmosphere is, we're not in a hurry. It might flow into the second. It might stop way beforehand. We don't know. We just know we need to seek God. Charles Peace was condemned to death row in the United States. You might have heard the story before. As is the practice there, the clergyman led a condemned man to his execution, reading the prayer book liturgy. As he was reciting it word for word, he mentioned the word hell. Charles Peace tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, do you mind me asking you a question? Do you believe what you're reading?" And the man said, "Sure, I guess." He said, "If I believe what you believe, I would crawl on my hands and knees to the four corners of the world across broken glass to warn people of such an eternity." See, the early church had the view of hell in its rearview mirror. It knew. It knew of this reality. It preached this reality. Look at the book of Acts. They walked in the power of the Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord. Look at the early sermons. Can you imagine Peter? Peter, "Oh guys, it's okay. Just encouraging, think positive thoughts. And God's in all of us. And go team." First sermon. He's been a Christian, I don't know how long, week? He just walks out of the upper room, maybe days. And he said, "You put Christ on the cross, you stiff-necked people. You put Christ on the cross. You put the Son of Glory on the cross in open shame." And they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" What did he say? "Repent. Repent and believe in the gospel and be baptized." Repent, believe in the heart, and be baptized. An outer expression of an inward change of the heart. He preached repentance. Sometimes we have to go back to those difficult truths. People need to be woken up out of spiritual darkness. That's why the message is so heavy. You've seen it before. I brought it up here before. I was tempted again. But I have what's the biggest they make. It's a 25-pound sledgehammer. You try using that for 10 minutes. Man. Rich, you know, huh? 20, hitting concrete. My daughter has a little pink hammer. I had to break up a 10 by 10 section of concrete. You think I brought the pink hammer? This is going to take a while. I said, "Shane, go get the you know what." And dragging this in, and here it comes. Boom! Boom! See, sometimes you need to hear the booms of hell, the powers of darkness that need to be defeated. You need to be hit by the sledgehammer before you wake up. You need the power of God to ignite your heart and feel the flames of heaven reach, the flames of hell reaching up, so you reach up to heaven and cry out, Christ, I need you. Many people don't reach out to Christ because they don't understand the darkness of eternity. Sometimes you got to bring out the sledgehammer and crush the hardness of the human heart. Sometimes America needs to hear that judgment is coming, that the judgment of hand of God will fall upon a nation, upon a people that reject him, that mock him, that do not fear him, that blaspheme him, that call good evil and evil good. Sometimes you got to bring out the sledgehammer and say, here it comes, watch out, and you crush the hardness and the prideful and the arrogant heart. All right, now the service is going to get good. I feel it now. My goodness. You got to wake us up sometimes, don't you? It's not my word like a fire? God says there's nothing stronger than fire. Is not my word like a hammer that does what? That breaks the rock in pieces. The Supreme Court needs to hear this message. Senators, Congress, Washington, you need to hear this message. My God, Sacramento, Governor Terry Brown, you need to hear about the judgment of God, the fear of God, the wrath of God, not in arrogance, but in boldness, in brokenness, in love, saying, I love God's word. I fear God, and you need to turn from the judgment that is to come.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Regaining Lost Ground. It is such a privilege to be on the station and to be able to speak to you each week. And I want to just let you know of an incredible opportunity. We have actually taken all 12 of my books and made them available as free downloads at the church website. The church website is westsidechristianfellowship.org. Again, that's westsidechristianfellowship.org, and it's under free ebooks. So books on revival, books on prayer, books on fasting, even books on health and fitness from a biblical perspective. I've written books to young adults and teenagers, to men, books on marriage and how far our nation has drifted and how we can get back on track and really begin to seek the heart of God again. So all of those books, all 12, are available as free downloads at westsidechristianfellowship.org, and you can send those out to friends, to family in need. Our goal is to get this out to help people in certain areas that they are struggling with. For example, if you like a lot of the messages here from Regaining Lost Ground, from Westside Christian Fellowship, the books actually contain a lot of the sermon notes, a lot of the illustrations, a lot of the stories, a lot of the scriptures, a lot of the points. All of those are in the books that you can download for free. The newest one, 40 Days to Reset Your Life and Oh God, Would You Rend the Heavens? They both focus on prayer and fasting and renewal and all these things. They're so vital, because without another spiritual awakening, I don't have a lot of hope for our nation, but I have a lot of hope in God. So again, just want to let you know of this incredible opportunity at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks, and you can download the books for free on our church website. And again, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman thanking our listeners again for just the blessing you've been, not only to me, but to our church staff, from the emails coming in and the letters coming in on how God has blessed you powerfully through this program. And that is our prayer, that he keeps doing that and keeps bringing the prodigal sons home, that he restores marriages, and it begins to fill us mightily with his Spirit. And we pray, oh God, rend the heavens and come down and visit your people again.
And for all the latest on what God is doing with his ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
Father, when he calls, come on, he's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine, you were born for such a time as this, he's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.